We'll start with that. Maybe have a bit of a test run on my intro. And one of the things I thought I would do is go over the basics of what mindfulness is. So the way I understand mindfulness is being aware in the present of whatever's happening now. So, and there's the secular mindfulness movement, which in order to allow a broader range of people to access it, has basically not mentioned where the mindfulness ideas originally came from. And the original source text for mindfulness is the Satipatthana Sutta. And in the Satipatthana Sutta, the teacher covers four areas of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the body, and that can take a whole range of forms. Mindfulness of what's been called feelings, that is the affective quality of experience, whether things are pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's kind of neutral, if you like. But it's not called neutral, it's called neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So those feelings are then further divided again down the middle, so that they are categorized further into wholesome and unwholesome, or beneficial and harmful. So a pleasant feeling can be wholesome or unwholesome, a neutral feeling can be wholesome or unwholesome, and an unpleasant feeling can be wholesome or unwholesome. So we've talked before about that ethical quality that we're looking at. So often people in their practice get afraid of pleasant feelings. Oh, I shouldn't get attached to enjoying my practice and things like that. And actually, that's not correct. We should enjoy our practice. It's a wholesome, pleasant feeling. Wholesome, pleasant feelings are to be encouraged and enjoyed. Enjoy your practice. Enjoy the pleasant feeling that comes with generosity. Enjoy the pleasant feeling that comes from having ethical behavior. I might even use the V word, virtuous. Enjoy being virtuous. So they are the ethical, wholesome feelings. Now, naturally, there are also unethical, wholesome, pleasant feelings, such as greed, lust, desire. Sometimes even anger can actually have this weird, pleasant tang to it, kind of excitement. But they're not wholesome, they're not beneficial, they're not ethical feelings. Unpleasant feelings can be both ethical and unethical, or beneficial and harmful. So a harmful, unpleasant feeling might be obsessive self-criticism. It's really unpleasant and it's not good for us. But a beneficial, unpleasant feeling is that feeling of, oh, I'm not doing that again. Yeah. That was a mistake, and I'm definitely learning from that. That's a very different thing to beating yourself up about it in a obsessive manner. But that unpleasant feeling that comes with realizing that we've done something that's not of benefit to us or others is useful, because it prevents us from doing that again if we are mindful of it. If we're not mindful of it, we push it away and then we make that same mistake again. So it's important to be mindful of feelings, so that we can notice that beneficial or harmful quality of our feelings. It's not beneficial to do things that are not in our best interest, that harm us, that don't support our health and well-being. It is beneficial to do things that are take care of ourselves and improve our mental and emotional and physical health. Some of those things feel good and some of them feel unpleasant. And we need to discern the difference between something that's unpleasant but useful and something that's unpleasant but harmful. Something that's pleasant but useful and something that's unpleasant but harmful. And the only way we can do that is by starting with mindfulness and being aware of the feeling as it happens now. If we're not aware right now in the present moment of those feelings as they arise, then we can't actually be fully comprehending, which is the second part, what they are and what to do about them. How should I act in response to this feeling? And if we're not mindful, then the feelings drive us in habitual ways. And most of our habits, good, bad, and otherwise, are driven by these pleasant and unpleasant feelings. And we're often not aware that these feelings drive our decisions. If we're not aware of the feelings and aware of them as they arise. So that's the first two, aware of the body. And most meditations give you mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of the heart, the chitta, the heart mind. This is the thinking and the emotions, the concepts and ideas. Being mindful right now of thinking as it arises now, of emotions as they arise now, of concepts as they come up and drive us, of belief structures. Because sometimes we have concepts, beliefs, and ideas that were laid down when we were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old that actually may not serve us anymore. Or we may have concepts and beliefs that were laid down in later childhood that don't, or during a trauma, that don't serve us anymore. And so if we're able to be mindful of our heart mind, not just the mental thinking, but the stuff that lies deeper than that, the emotional states, the beliefs, consciousness, and conceptual constructs that we operate within. These are quite difficult to see. You can see somebody else's, much more easily than you can see your own. And the only way to identify them is by being mindful of what's happening in your heart and mind. Once you've been mindful, once you can see it, then you can use what's called clear comprehension to reflect on it and understand it in more depth. And once you understand it in more depth, then you can think about how you want to work more skillfully with that, what you want to keep, what you want to let go of. And then the last realm of the four areas of mindfulness is what's called dhammas or principles. So I suppose the constructs come into that, but principles of reality, things that are true whether we believe them or not. Okay, so for example, the laws around cause and effect, the universal laws of cause and effect, are true whether we believe them or not. Laws such as gravity. Gravity operates whether we believe it or not. So the contemplation of principles of reality is a more advanced practice and kind of leads naturally on from the previous contemplation. When you get past mind and emotions and into belief structures, that tends to lead you into principles, because belief structures and principles are quite strongly related. So these are the four areas of mindfulness as I've been taught them. And actually it covers everything. There's nothing in, as far as I can tell, in our psychophysical experience that lies outside of those four classifications. So the classifications just serve to give us a starting point to have a look. Because at any moment, right, like right now, I'm having a whole bunch of stuff going on in the body right now. I'm having a whole bunch of feelings arising and passing away right now. I'm having a whole bunch of mental and emotional stuff happening right now. And there's a whole bunch of belief structures and rules of reality also going on. So I can't look at it all. One of my teachers said to me, if your meditation is boring, then you're not paying attention. Because there's so much going on that if you're bored with what you happen to be looking at at that point in time, look at something else that's more interesting. So in the body, often people start with things like body scan, you know, just which we often do. We scan from the top of the body to the feet. And sometimes we do it kind of neutrally, and sometimes we infuse it with loving kindness. Another type of mindfulness of the body is mindfulness of breathing, and that's an extremely common meditation object. Breathing in, breathing out, qualities of the breath. One of my favourite types of mindfulness of body is what's called four elements, and I don't mean carbon and oxygen and those kinds of elements. I mean the elements that we can directly experience through our body. And so it goes back to the ancient Indian and probably many other ancient cultures' system of earth, air, fire and water. Because I can't really directly experience the oxygen and hydrogenness of the breath. I'm not actually able to discern that. But I can discern temperature directly, and temperature is considered to be fire element, and so every all matter has temperature, and so we can discern the temperature of the body, we can discern the temperature of the breath, we can discern the temperature of the surfaces that we're touching, we can discern the earth element, which is hardness and softness, roughness and smoothness, and we can directly discern that. We can discern stickiness and cohesion and flow, which flow is more difficult, but stickiness and cohesion is reasonably accessible, and that's water element. Pressure and vibration is air element. So when my favourite mindfulness of the body is looking at the four elements, and so I might say, for example, I'll do a little workshop right now. So just close your eyes for a second and hold your hand out in front of you and slowly open and close your hand. And ask yourself the question, how do I know my hand is there? Outside of concept, what is my direct experience of this body part that is labelled hand? So having given you the hint of four elements just immediately before, can somebody give me a comment about what you've experienced now in your hand? How do you know your hand's there?
I'd say memory is one.
memory.
Mm-hmm. It's been done before, so no one's going to be there.
But right now, without memory?
Feeling.
And what are you feeling?
These knuckles go, and when I touch, these touches my hand.
So?
Touch.
Pressure.
So I can wave my fingers and create air.
Yeah. And you can feel the movement of your fingers themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can feel the temperature of my hand.
Ooh.
I can feel that it's a different temperature to the air touching on the inside, to the air touching the skin. I can feel the hardness of my bones down the middle of my finger. I can feel the movement of my fingers as I open and close them. And as I move my fingers, I can feel shifts in pressures in the knuckles. And that's all happening right now. It's outside of concept, it's direct experience. So it's a very fascinating, for me, way of doing meditation is to actually look at those elemental qualities of the body. Now, there's two approaches to it, which I better wrap up pretty soon because my blah-blah thing's going on a bit too long. There's the systematic approach where you take, say, temperature and you go from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet systematically throughout your body looking for the experience of temperature. Like my eyeballs feel a bit chilly. They're quite cooler than the inside of my mouth. But I've been doing this for a long time, so I've picked up kind of little subtle nuances like my eyeballs feel cool. But that's because they're actually wet, you see. And like inside the torso feels quite warmer than, say, the tips of my fingers, particularly if I've had some curry. So you can do it systematically like that, or you can look at a pain in the body. And when you look at the painful feeling, you can start dissecting that painful feeling into its direct experience. There's the experience of unpleasant, and there is the heaviness and hardness and pressure and vibration and heat. Yeah. Maybe if I look in my shoulders, I might see tightness and coolness, cohesion, because my shoulders are a bit tight, you know. But when I look at my cheeks feel quite soft and not at all tight and loose and relaxed. So maybe I had been thinking of doing a little bit of walking meditation today. Would anybody be up for walking meditation today? So walking meditation is a particularly good time to also use the four elements. And we look at four elements in the touch of our feet on the ground. So we can feel the hardness of the ground. And if you're really, really sensitive to it, you can feel the compression of the soft part of your flesh as your weight goes on. And as the pressure increases on your foot, you begin to feel the hardness of your bones. And then as you bring your foot up again, the compression, the pressure in the bottom of your foot reduces and the perception of hardness reduces, and then you can feel softness in your foot again if you're paying very close attention. If you're walking on wood with bare feet, which we're not today, sometimes you can feel like the foot sticking to the surface as you lift the foot up, you know. And that just little bit of dampness from the body. So what I thought we would do is walk in a circle around the table, and we start by being aware of standing, and then I will say, okay, now we'll walk, and then we start with, I'm aware of my right foot, I'm aware of my left foot, I'm aware of my right foot, I'm aware of my left foot. And then after a little bit of that, we can start going in a little deeper. So we take ourselves in slowly. We just go right, left, and just feel that touch, 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 to get the aiming our mind at that touch point in the foot. And once we can see the touch point, and if that's as far as you get today, that's just fine. But if you happen to develop some really good concentration, you might be able to do the lifting, placing, lifting, placing, where you watch the difference between picking your foot up and putting it down. It might happen that your mind will suddenly move to the really interesting, fascinating part of walking, which is how the body shifts weight from one leg to another. How we manage to shift 60 or 70 kilos or more from one leg to the other smoothly is incredible to me once I really watch how it works. No wonder little babies have such time working out how to do it. And it's a thing that we know without language. As we go around, we might use language to describe the process to ourselves, to just really, oh yeah, that's happening, to kind of tune our aim in a little bit. But it's a wonderful example of something that we know in a non-narrative way. It's non-narrative knowledge. So shall we give it a go? And I think we will go clockwise. Just as a practice, because if you ever go around a stupa, this is the direction you go. So see my shoulder here? This one's out. This is my right shoulder. And that's how I know which way to go around a stupa, because you go around with your right shoulder towards the stupa. Okay, so we start out by standing and being aware that we're standing, feeling our posture, feeling the pressure in our feet. Now we're going to generate the intention to walk and begin walking quite slowly, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. Feeling the pressure of our feet touching the ground inside our shoes. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Just look ahead, sort of towards the other person's ankles or calves. Because if you look at your toes, you'll get a sore neck. Being aware of the touch of the feet on the ground.
can feel how I roll my foot up, lifting my heel up, and my toe leaves last. And I place my heel down first, and then my foot rolls down. Lifting, placing, lifting, placing, lift, place, lift, place, place. Feeling the foot lifting up and putting it down. Feeling the difference in the touch. The shifting of pressure. Lifting, placing, lifting, placing. Lifting, placing. If you find yourself thinking, just notice that and then come back to the touch of your feet on the ground. Hardness, pressure, softness, temperature, movement. Staying with mindfulness of the body as it walks. Lifting, placing, the touch of the feet on the ground. If you find yourself getting a little bit wobbly or unbalanced, you may be putting your feet on a tight rope. So see if you can keep your feet at your hip width apart. in a natural gait. Keeping your eyes somewhat down helps to reduce distraction. Helps you to keep your mind on the touch of your feet on the ground. Bringing your awareness right down by your feet. What part of your foot touches the ground first? Is the pressure evenly distributed over your foot, or are you rolling your foot in or out? What else can you notice about the touch of your foot on the ground? increase of pressure as you place your foot, and the decrease of pressure as you lift your foot. The hardness of the ground, the softness of your sock, and the padding on the inside of your shoe. Walking meditation is a very nice way of allowing your mind to calm down before sitting. So when we get back to our chairs, we'll just shift to sitting posture for the last 10 minutes. So in sitting posture, we can continue the four elements and notice the touch points, where our feet touch the ground, where our buttocks touch the seat, where our back touches the back of the chair, where our arms touch the armrests and each other. And if it happens to make itself known to you, the movement of the body as it breathes.
Using the last minute to reflect on what just happened, what our experience was, what our level of peacefulness is now. Compared to when we arrived.
I didn't think it was going to do anything, the walking.